couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week, it's a little bit of a thing called the Oscars is coming up. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've done it before.
Oh, okay.
They did it. I think they started it 10 or 12 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Some guy in a gold lamé jumpsuit holding a shovel.
Nice.
Stands out there and hands awards to weird people in Hollywood. But in addition to awards, Oscar weekend, we've got Snitch to talk about.
Yay.
With The Rock. I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was.
We also have Dark Skies, not the old crummy TV show that was on NBC like back in the 90s.
Yes, no, not that one.
We also have a listener email.
Yay.
And we will be doing some Oscar predictions later on and talking about DVDs and Blu-rays. But now, let's talk first about what our thoughts were on the box office.
Let's talk about that.
I am declaring us both winners. That is, and this is why.
Really?
Well, technically, you picked the number one movie. But our numbers were very close. If you go by the five, like the 4-day spread.
It's true, yes.
And that's how, that or the 5-day spread, actually. Because this is how. I was very vague about it last week because I said, well, we're not going to talk about winning the – you're not going to do the 3-day, 4-day, 5-day.
Yeah, it's hard to say with those.
Because everything opened on Thursday, and then they got President's Day on Monday as well.
Right.
So you and I each picked $35 million. I said Safe Haven. You said Good Day to Die Hard. You picked the number one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it, over the 5-day spread, it made $37 million.
Yes.
So that's how accurate you were.
That's not bad. I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah. And
I'll
said
–
and I said 33 million for Safe Haven was how much that made over the 5-day spread.
So you're pretty close too.
So we were very close.
Yes.
So take that, America. If you talk about the 3-day spread, we were way off. So or even the 4-day
I wasn't talking about the 3-day spread.
No,
I was totally talking about 5.
I was talking about whatever got me the best number.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Good Day to Die Hard won the weekend. Over the 5-day, it was $37 million, which is okay, but it's soft compared to the Die Hard movies.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think that's more a result of when it was released.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. It's February. That's the thing. It's February. Every other Die Hard movie came out in the summer.
Right.
All the other 4 movies came out in the summer. And even then, if you look at the history of the Die Hard movies.
They didn't do that great.
They're not huge moneymakers.
No.
Yeah, Live Free or Die Hard opened the same weekend as Transformers, I believe.
Did it?
So it was just like crushed by Transformers.
Ouch.
Identity Thief actually came in number 2 with $27 million for the spread, and that gives it $75 million total. And then Escape from Planet Earth, that was a bit of a surprise. It made $21 million.
That is a big surprise.
I never saw that coming whatsoever.
Did you end up seeing it?
No.
Okay.
I was going to.
Yes.
I was
going
to go take my son, but I just said, I don't need to see this garbage. I made an executive decision.
Well, clearly not everybody thought the same way that you did.
Well, and I finally actually read a relatively accurate analysis of it, and it made the point. It's like it's the only kids' movie that's been released this year, really.
Yeah, there hasn't really been anything.
Everything else. And there's been a lot of R-rated content.
Yeah.
If you look at like The Last Stand and stuff like Bullet to the Head and Die Hard and Identity Thief, they're all R-rated movies.
Yeah, I'm not taking my kid to that.
Yeah, and Hansel and Gretel was also R. There's a lot of movies that maybe could have skewed down into the PG-13 range, but didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So just having any movie you could put children in a theater just to get them out of your hair for a while.
Well, I don't know. I've seen children in a lot of theaters lately.
We saw a child in Snitch this
week. We did see a child in Snitch.
Although I'm not too upset about that because the child was actually quiet.
Yes, I know.
I think the kid was into the movie.
Although they did take the child out in the middle of the movie. And
which, again, was
mind-blowing. Brought her back in.
Well,
or
but,
him or...
but it was, the kid wasn't, yeah, you couldn't tell. It was,
it was dark.
But I remember, it reminds me of when we saw Argo back in September,
mm-hmm.
there was this kid and it was like a toddler. I mean, like 3 years old. And I was like, oh man, some kid's going to be making noise to this movie. The kid shut up for the whole thing. Apparently the kid is really into Iranian hostage history.
Hey, you never know.
Who knows?
Kids these days.
Yeah. It blows my mind. And then there are people who don't shut up during, there's adults who don't shut up during movies.
Yeah, usually they're the bigger problem, actually. Like, when we go to kids' movies, usually it's the parents who are the bigger problem than the kids.
Oh, yeah. Especially the ones that talk to the kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're in their own living room.
Right.
I hate those people. Other movies that, and then you had, Warm Bodies, Beautiful Creatures, Silver Lining Playbook. The same old, the same list of stuff. Both Argo and Lincoln are off the top 10 by now, but I wouldn't be surprised if they both bump back into the top 10.
Oh, probably,
after this weekend. Die Hard was a big hit overseas. It did very well, and that's where it's going to make most of its money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a big surprise. Oddly enough, though, it was not a huge hit in Russia.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe because there are meteors falling on people's heads. Skyfall has reached $800 million overseas, even though it came out on Blu-ray last week.
Nice.
And The Hobbit finally cracked $300 million domestic, and I don't know if it's going to make a billion. It's at $959
million. Pretty close.
Which is good enough.
It's not bad.
Good enough to justify two more movies.
I'd take that.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysofthemovies.com. We have one of those we're going to read later in the show.
Yes.
You can reach us on voicemail by calling 740-205-6456.
And it works.
And it works, as was proved last week.
Yes, we have discovered this. Our voicemail does work.
Yes, that's right. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can get me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews. And you can find me at realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com.
That's right.
Yes.
So let's roll into the movie reviews. We normally do some news at this point, but because we have Oscars, we're going to like kind of throw those later on because I think that's really what people care about.
Because we have so many other important movies to talk about this week.
Yeah. Movies like...
Yes. Dark Skies.
Yes.
Keri Russell stars as a suburban mom whose family is haunted by a mysterious dark presence.
Something's going on.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
The marks on your son's body appear to have been applied with a brand.
There are people who have reported experiencing the same things that we have been experiencing.
You cannot escape them. Sooner or later, when they're ready... they will take your family.
Leave us alone!
That was probably as vague as you could get with your description because the
everything
movie itself.
I've read about it is pretty vague.
Completely.
The trailer doesn't really tell you much.
Yeah.
The Sandman.
There's something.
Things in their kitchen.
People are in a house and there's something.
There's something there.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to figure out, okay, what's going on? What is here? Some people say aliens. You never know.
Yeah, it could be aliens. It could be demons. It could be psychological things. It could be ghosts. You don't know. And I have to say, first of all, they didn't screen this for us.
No.
They didn't. I've heard they've done some screenings around the country, but very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Which is usually
not a, surprise.
Not a big surprise for a horror movie on the off season, but also it's a Weinstein movie, and the Weinsteins, as much as everyone says they know what they're doing, they don't know what the heck they're doing. They're big idiots, and they botch releases all the time. And then at the end of the year, they like pick one or two that they're going to champion, and everyone forgets about the ones that got.
You know, sooner or later, Harvey is going to hear the things that you're saying, and he's going to start making a big deal about us, and then we'll be huge.
I know that would be so awesome. I was like this close. I'm holding my hands up. I was almost on an interview with Harvey.
That's true. You were. Bully. I remember that. Yeah.
And I ended up on the interview with Lee Hirsch, who directed Bully, but we never actually talked because I was like, who cares if it's an R rating? It's an R rated.
Yeah.
Who cares? The diehard crowd will go see it.
Nice.
So, yeah, we don't know anything about Dark Side. Here's the thing. It looks interesting. The trailer looks interesting.
Yeah.
It looks like a David Goyer movie.
Yeah, it looks really interesting.
Yeah, because his movies, he did movies like The Unborn and The Invisible, which have these really cool shots in it, and they look really assembly, make a great trailer, and then you see the movie, and you're like, oh, that was bad.
Now, the interesting thing about the trailer is it points out that it's from the producers of Insidious and Sinister.
Yeah.
Which you're like, oh, Insidious and Sinister, this is great.
Two fantastic horror movies.
But then you look up the director. The director who also did Legion and Priest.
Ooh.
So.
But this is not in 3D.
You never know where this one's going to go.
Where's Paul Bettany in this movie? That's what I want to know. If it's Legion and Priest, shouldn't he be running around somewhere?
He is.
Is he in this movie?
He is the dark, mysterious presence.
That's right. It's not an alien. It's not a demon.
It's Paul Bettany. Dressed like a monk.
That's right. And he's naked underneath.
Nice.
Just like he was in A Knight's Tale. That is reserved only for Jennifer Connelly. She gets a lot of that sweetness. Ooh.
Anyway, and J.K. Simmons is in it, so, you know, you can't go wrong there.
He's great. I love J.K.'s. I love him in, like, almost everything he does.
Yeah, he can pretty much be in any movie.
He can be in the worst movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
If he had a walk-on in, like, Project X from last year, I'd be like...
It may have made the movie a little bit better.
I would have been like, hey, at least J.K. Simmons was in it.
It may have gotten, like, a D-.
Exactly. Well, it gets a preemptive suck. We got to go to a break. When we come back, Snitch and Oscar.
Hit the sky for...
We'll
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me.
We just got done talking about Dark Skies, which could be an alien movie, could be a ghost story. We don't know.
Could be good. It could be bad.
We have no idea.
It's probably bad. I'm betting it's bad.
Okay.
That's my guess.
It gets a preemptive suck.
It gets a preemptive suck. But something that does not get a preemptive suck is the next movie we're going to talk about. What's that?
Yes.
That would be Snitch.
Yes.
I guess that's me talking
about
it.
It's your turn, yeah.
The Rock plays a magical winged nugget in this point of view look inside Quidditch.
That sounds like a great movie.
It's not what it's about.
I'm not a drug dealer. I swear to you, Dad. You believe me, right?
Of course I believe you.
This is a federal case. The mandatory minimum laws are very simple. Jason is facing 10 years in prison.
10 years?
United States versus Jason Collins.
I believe in the mandatory minimum laws.
Please, I just want to help my son.
We need your son to help us make arrests before we can help him reduce his sentence.
But like setting someone up, I won't do it.
What if I did it for him? What if I helped you make arrests?
I lied. I was really lazy and just made up a description. Because it's about a snitch, because that's what the little gold...
It's true. It is a snitch, yeah.
You know how hard it was to write that without making it sound crass and juvenile? Because the snitch is, in fact, a little gold ball.
I know. I know it is.
It'd be something my kids would listen to and they'd giggle the whole time. Because that's my kids. Because I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, and that is what they think about all the time.
I know those kids. Yeah. I've seen them.
So
here we are Snitch.
Here's the thing with Snitch. I am.
Are we going to tell them what it's actually about?
Well, yeah, okay. It's about a guy who... Well, you heard the trailer, but it's about a guy whose son is arrested for the intent to distribute drugs, and
he's
set up by his best friend, and it's this, and he, it's these mandatory minimum requirements, jail sentences, and then the prosecuting attorney's not mitigating at all, and so Dwayne Johnson's like, well, I'll take down the drug pins, can you
right.
not? And I'm like, okay. My problem with this movie is every time I see it's based on a true story,
yes,
that usually means, and I don't know whether it's, did it say inspired by true events? I think it said inspired.
I think it did.
Which is even looser than based on a true story. Whenever you see that, you just know, you're like, oh, now they just made crap up and just most of it. And the problem is, like the kid, the way this kid gets caught is his friend sets him up and sends him a package like this massive, like, giant dum-dum suckers bag full of ecstasy in a UPS box.
Right. He sends it, like, FedEx.
And the kid opens it, and there's a tracker in it, and the police come after him. And then they're like, well...
Which is probably the most exciting part of the movie.
Yeah, it's not an action movie, too.
That's, no.
There's, like, two or three scenes that might be action.
Yeah.
But the whole point is, and then they're like, well, he's got a roll on these people, and everything. I'm like, first of all, I'm not a drug agent.
You're not?
I'm not an undercover DEA agent,
okay.
So you're safe.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure when they try and get people to roll on each other, they make them roll up.
Yeah.
If you're a distributor, they go to your supplier.
Exactly. That's what I've seen on Law & Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always have a problem when movies don't even do the due diligence to make it accurate for Law & Order.
Yeah.
Because
we just want to find any kid on your street who smokes pot.
Yeah.
Is what they're saying.
And on top of it, the kid had no lawyer at any point, and no point did a lawyer say, "Sure, he had it," because somebody gives him a box, he signs for, and he opens it, and it's in there.
Right.
Technically, he had possession of it, but I could walk up to you and I could throw it in your face, and you would have possession of drugs. I could sit there and dump a bag of cocaine on you and be like, "Look at all the cocaine she has," and you're like, "It stuck to my clothes and my hair." That is not how the DEA operates. And I know it's based on a true story.
Supposedly.
I haven't done my research. I haven't even gone to Wikipedia to look it up. That's how lazy I've been this week.
It's understandable.
But I'm sure that there's a lot of changes.
I wasn't really inspired enough to head out and look into the facts on this one.
But it's a preposterous movie. And it's boring.
And the thing is, okay, this is The Rock.
Yeah.
We've all seen The Rock. We know what this guy looks like.
Yeah.
He's a big man who can barely even put his arms down.
That's true.
You know?
He was not as sweaty as he was in the Fast Five movie, though.
Sure. But in this movie, He plays like this mild-mannered, hard-working businessman who's really, you know, he puts all of his time into making his business a success, and then he goes to the store to buy his daughter a birthday cake. When is this guy working out?
Apparently. And you know what's funny about it? It's also, he's supposed to be like the really wealthy, like, construction owner.
Yeah.
Every shot of his house, it gets bigger every time we go there.
It is huge.
So there's one point where I'm like, are they even in the same house? There's like a pool and like a giant fireplace. We didn't see that earlier.
Yeah, it's massive.
And you know what else? I one thing I loved about this movie is because it was so bad. It didn't have one, not two, not three, not four. It had five scenes in a row of people yelling at each other.
Yes.
It had five Oscar clips. I mean, some are more extreme than others, but I'm just like watching. I'm sitting next to Nick Harrow, who's, of course, from Movies Hate You Too and the new to Netflix podcast that we also do with the Fat Guys Network. But he and I are saying that. I'm like, I look at him. I'm like, I pull my hand up and I'm like, five. We've got five. And I'm like, is there any other character left to yell at somebody? And then they show up again and I'm like, oh, are they going to yell again?
Yes.
Oh, it's stupid. It's bad.
And it's so much melodrama. You know, they have to talk about their feelings.
Yeah.
For each other. And it's after school special followed by made for TV movie.
Yeah.
It's just.
And the other thing is, like, after you go through this whole like big weepy melodrama and the one or two action scenes that they cram in there just to, so they can cut a trailer. Then you get to like the end and it has this message where it's like mandatory minimum sentencing for drug addicts or drug offenders. Get more time in jail than rapists and murderers and child molesters. And I'm like, what are they trying to say? That
I know. They make it sound like this is a problem that these people go to jail.
We need to make them go to less. No, we don't. It's not that we need to get the rapists to go to jail more. We need these people in jail less. It's
exactly.
It's sort of trying to be a PSA, too, which is terrible. So it gets, you know, I was going to say it kind of sucks, but I think I'm going rocking full on sucks.
Oh, yeah. One. Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're going to start with our big fat Oscar coverage now.
Yay.
Yay. The big fat Oscar special. Let's look at we're going to kind of stick to the big six because I think nobody cares about what documentary is going to win.
You don't think?
I don't think so. I'm sure there's somebody who does.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what's even nominated.
What's nominated for documentary? How to Survive a Plague. I know that's nominated.
I didn't see it. I don't know that I saw any of the documentaries that were nominated.
Bullies. I don't think Bullies even nominated for
documentary. No.
So anyways, let's talk about the big six. Let's start at the bottom. Best Supporting Actor. You've got the list there. I do. Yeah. Who?
Would you like to see the list?
Yes. Let me see the list.
There's the list.
The official list. For Best Supporting Actor,
Do we have a drum roll?
No.
Okay.
It'll be just too loud. Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. Who do you think it's going to go to?
This is a tough one.
This, I think, is the wide open field.
Yes. This one is wide open. And, you know, in the beginning, everybody was talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman and how awesome he was in The Master. And he is. But that seemed to kind of die down.
The Master's momentum has slowed considerably.
Nobody's talking about The Master anymore.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of options here. Christoph Waltz is awesome.
Well, they're all Oscar winners, too. These all of them have won an Oscar before. So.
And Alan Arkin is hilarious.
Yeah.
But
who do you think?
I'm going to give it to Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm thinking Tommy Lee Jones, too. I think there's a lot of buzz for Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's going to be a lot of regrets later on for not voting for Lincoln for other things. So that's why I think it's going to be Tommy Lee Jones. Real quick, let's hit on, in the next 30 seconds, Best Actress in Supporting Role, Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Miserables, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook. Is there anybody who doesn't think that Anne Hathaway's not going to win
this? Anne Hathaway, hands down.
For that one performance, even if you hated Les Mis, that scene of her singing and weeping.
It is remarkable.
Yeah, it's a great scene. And I mean, like, Helen Hunt looked like Mr. Spock and was awful in The Sessions. Jackie Weaver, I think, is just too far off the radar. So,
okay.
Anne Hathaway. When we come back, we're going to finish up our Oscar predictions and we're going to talk about box office. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're in the middle of a big fat Oscar special. We are going to be talking about the other categories in the Big Six, and now we're going to move on to the actor and actress roles.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little more time to talk about this, because I think the supporting actors, there's always seems to be a supporting actor that's a runaway going to win, and that's
Anne Hathaway. Yep.
And then the other, the supporting actor roles, I think anybody could win, and everyone would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's talk about, do you want to do actress first? Let's do
we can go wherever you want to go.
Okay, let's talk best documentary short. No, we're going to talk about the best actress in a leading role. We have Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty, Jennifer Lawrence for Silver Linings Playbook, Emmanuel Riva for Amour, Quvenzhané Wallace for Beasts of Southern Wild.
Nice.
See, I got
Did you look that up?
I made sure I knew how to pronounce that. And Naomi Watts for The Impossible. Going back to my French pronunciation.
Fabulous.
Who do you think is going to win?
This is another tough one.
Yeah, it is.
This one's kind of wide open yet.
Yeah?
And I think...
I don't think it's as wide open as the supporting actor.
No, no. I loved Emmanuel Riva in Amour. Not that I necessarily love the movie. But
she sort of laid there.
I think it was a really difficult role.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that. And as they always say, you know, the Oscar voters, they're getting toward that age.
They're like, I can relate to having a stroke.
And they can relate to things like that.
Being murdered by my husband. Oops, spoiler alert.
Nice. Well, it does kind of happen in the beginning. So kinda...
You know what happens.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Jennifer Lawrence, though.
I agree with you. Okay. I think that Jennifer Lawrence is going to... She's the odds-on favorite. If you look at the betting, she's the odds-on favorite.
Well, there you go.
I think it's not... I mean, Emmanuel Riva seems to be the dark horse. That would have been the... That'd be the upset.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it's between Jessica Chastain and Jennifer Lawrence.
I just didn't buy Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty. I know everybody's talking about how wonderful she is, but it just... Of all of the roles she's been in, this is far from my favorite.
Well, yeah, and I it's not what I thought. It's what I've heard people say. And I know Jessica Chastain's won a couple things for her.
Yeah, I agree.
Naomi Watts, as great of a role as it was, I think, is just people... Maybe it's because it's the last on the list. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, her? Okay.
And it's just one of those movies that didn't get a lot of buzz and not a lot of people talked about it. And
The Impossible was also that very blatant, we want our awards movie.
Yeah, yeah, so. It's kind of Oscar bait.
Whereas like Amour, I don't think Amour was like that. I think Michael Haneke made it.
I think it's just Michael Haneke is being Michael Haneke.
Yeah, and then it just suddenly got a lot of awards. And it's sort of like the way The Hurt Locker was. When the Hurt Locker came out and like Jeremy Renner was nominated, it wasn't like... They're like, oh, okay, well, okay, I'll buy that. That's cool, you know. But that wasn't made to win an award.
No.
You feel that way with like the Iron Lady,
was
made so she. Well, Meryl needs another Oscar.
Yeah,
it's been a while, but I think Jennifer Lawrence. I think that's going to be the big win for Silver Linings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nominated movie. I don't think it's a very winning movie.
No,
I don't think it's going to get much in terms of winning, even though it had a lot. Of nominations.
You'll get some nasty comments on Twitter for that, but
well,
no, I agree.
That's okay. But I mean, that's not even my assessment. I mean, I didn't like the movie, but I also just, it's not winning anything.
No. And it's a good movie, but it's not an Oscar movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I think it's getting the Oscar buzz kind of more for some love to David O. Russell. I think there's a lot of that he's bringing to the table. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I think, the other thing Jennifer Lawrence did that was pretty impressive is she did in 2012, she did a massive blockbuster, a big award darling film, and then like one of the worst movies of the year with the House at the End of the Street. The blockbuster, of course, was not the House at the End of the Street. That was Hunger Games.
So we can call that the Jennifer Lawrence hat trick?
Yes. Ooh, yeah. Good one. Now she won this. Maybe she'll be a write-in for her for House at the End of the Street.
There you go.
All right, let's talk about the best actor. That would be Bradley Cooper for Silver Linings Playbook, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables, Joaquin Phoenix for The Master, and Denzel Washington for Flight.
I think this is a pretty easy one.
Again, who does not think that Daniel Day-Lewis is not going to win this?
There's no doubt in my mind. It's Daniel Day-Lewis, come on.
He's won before, but he's also been nominated a lot and hasn't won.
He's won a million times, too.
He's like,
wouldn't he be the...
I think he only won twice. He won for Wild Foot.
Yes, but I don't think anyone has won three times in this category before.
Oh, that's possible, yeah. So, but it's Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, it's Daniel Day-freaking-Lewis.
He could be in a musical and sing the alphabet, and he would win an Oscar for it. He just... It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, and I've said this about Lincoln. What's amazing about it is I'd say 60% of the movie is him just talking and giving speeches.
And it's fascinating.
And it's compelling as all get out.
It is.
And he also doesn't he doesn't play Lincoln like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. He's not be excellent to each other.
It would be fun if he had, though.
Although, yeah, that would have been. But he plays it as apparently historically accurate, which is cool.
Yeah, it's a great character. It's one that you really like.
Yeah.
And there are times in the middle of the movie where all of a sudden you look at the screen and go, that's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. He drank your milkshake in that
movie. Yes, he did.
But like Denzel Washington for Flight, I know he's an alcoholic and he threw a bottle of booze against the wall because that is acting. I don't think that he's – I mean, people love Denzel Washington, but I just
don't – It's one of those things that apparently, you know, maybe – The Academy thought that they missed out on something for Denzel Washington years ago, and so they're making up for it with Flight because, yeah, Flight's not.
No, it's not that good. Anyways, let's roll on. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're in the middle of our Oscar predictions. Now, here's the big one. Best Director, Best Picture.
These are tough.
Usually you can lump those together.
Yeah.
But let's talk director first.
This year is an upset, I think.
The best director, you've got Michael Haneke for Amor, Ben Zeitlin, I think is how you say his name, for Beasts of the Southern Wild, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, and David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook. Who do you think's going
to
win?
I'm giving it to Spielberg.
I think Spielberg's going to win this, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Lincoln's going to win. Spoiler alert. I don't think Lincoln's going to win the
best. I agree.
If you would have asked me a month ago, I said I'd
you
be...
You thought Lincoln.
Absolutely.
And
Lincoln.
I agreed, but...
I think, you know what, 15 years ago, this is what happened to Spielberg before when Saving Private Ryan was up for Best Picture and mm-hmm. Best Director. He won for Best Director, but Shakespeare in Love won Best Picture. And I think the biggest reason that John Madden didn't win for Shakespeare in Love is people were like, the football guy? No way did he direct that movie. Let's give it to Spielberg.
Nice.
So that's... That's my take on history.
There you go. But no, I agree. I think it's going to be Spielberg.
Yeah. And it's not like any of these guys did a bad job with it. I don't think Ben Zeitlin has a chance because he's way too new.
Yeah. And I think the other ones, there isn't really a standout in there.
Yeah.
It's Spielberg or Spielberg, really.
Yeah. And now what would have been really interesting is if Ben Affleck was on this list because that's where the momentum's going.
Exactly.
Now, maybe there'll be a write-in for Ben Affleck.
It would be interesting.
They'd be like, holy cow, it's Ben Affleck. Sorry, Spielberg.
Knock, knock.
Yeah, that's what that should be Ben Affleck's acceptance speech for Best Picture. he should start it off by going, knock, knock.
I would like to see that. Knock, I was thinking Mrs. that today, that I would like to see that.
Knock, knock, Steven. All right. Well, with that out there, Best Picture. Now, remember, there's nine. So let's rattle these off real quickly.
Yes.
You've got Amor. You've got Argo. You've got Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Miserables, blah, 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 Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Argo.
And the only reason I'm saying Argo, all the numbers are going that way,
mm-hmm.
Argo has won
everything
since the nominations.
Yes.
And I think that's where it's going. I think that that's... Could Lincoln win? It's possible. But I really think it's Argo's. It's Argo's.
And it's
to
one
lose.
Of those things, you know, Hollywood loves talking about itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Argo is all about Hollywood.
Did I just turn into a member of Jerry Springer's audience?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm, sister. Yes. All right. I don't know what happened. I was possessed by the alien from Dark Skies. That's who it is. It's Octavia Butler or Octavia Spencer.
I think it was Tyler Perry.
Yes. Ooh. It was not Tyler Perry's noise.
That
was like Cartman. Anyways, real quick, Woody's going to win the box office. We got like 20 seconds. What's going to win the box office?
I'm going to go Die Hard with a 12.
I'm going to say Identity Thief.
Okay.
With 15.
All right.
All right. When you come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs, and we're going to read a listener email.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. That was nice.
That was me raising the roof.
Raising the roof.
Anyway. I've been to my Oscar parties, and now
we have been raising the roof for the Oscars. That is what we have been doing.
Go home, Kevin. You drunk.
Okay, so what do we have up next?
We have a listener email. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
This is from Ty from St. Louis. He's written in before.
Hi, Ty.
I don't know if he's written in since you've started on the show or not, but he's written in several times. First of all, he says, Kevin, love your shows, and Katie K makes a great co-host.
Aww.
That's so sweet. You know what? I will say this, and this is me getting mushy here, but whenever I do get feedback from the show, it usually starts off like that.
And
like, oh, Katie K is so good.
Seriously, we have the best listeners.
We do. We have awesome listeners. Mm-hmm.
So. I say that every week. I seriously do. Do I not say that every week?
You do. You've been gushing over them.
Yes.
And they love our show, and we love them.
Mm-hmm.
Mwah, 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 mwah. I don't know what that was all about.
Anyway.
Anyways, one of the things he says, you mentioned that you were going forward with your calendar idea on Kickstarter. I couldn't find it. Were you joking? I think it would be a fun idea. I am. I am in the middle of preparing a budget.
Awesome.
So there's a little bit of a delay on that, but hopefully...
By
the middle of March, we will definitely have it out on Kickstarter.
Can I have like a Where's Waldo appearance every once in a while?
Oh, that would be awesome. Absolutely. Will you wear a striped red shirt with a hat?
I would
and
do
glasses?
That. Yeah, I could do that.
I think we should. We'll put that in the budget. another thing he says, thanks for your review of Promised Land. He also mentions the new to Netflix podcast, which I have started on the Fat Guys Network. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go to Fat Guys in the Movies and subscribe to that, I talk with Nicholas Harum and we talk about new movies coming to Netflix and the streaming service and what's leaving and coming. And it's actually doing incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. And he said he should call it Newflix. And I'm like, damn it. That was a good name. So anyways. Anyway, the other
if
thing
he says.
Only he
would have told you that a month ago.
Yeah, where were you, Ty? Come on, get with the program. And he says, thanks for your review of Promised Land. I look forward to seeing it. I was wondering if you had heard the accusations that the film was largely financially backed by an OPEC nation trying to downplay the safety of U.S. fracking to protect their interest in U.S. oil imports from OPEC. In case you haven't heard, he links to a CNN Money article, which we might put up on the website, which we'll try to put up on the website, which basically... It's produced by Abu Dhabi, right?
Yes, it is.
But so
and a
Snitch.
Lot of films are. Yeah, so is Snitch. I was going to say that. I saw that last night. It popped up. I was like, oh, there you go, Ty.
There you are. Fracking and ecstasy.
Nice.
So, but yeah, you actually looked a little closer at the article than I did. I looked at the title. What was nice. What's your take on it?
It is an interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entirely sure which direction to go from that.
Okay.
Because it could go either way. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a movie production company.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that they see Gus Van Sant and they see John Krasinski and Matt Damon and they go, okay, we'll back that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because of the subject matter, there is a very good chance that they're saying, hey, we will take your movie and we will back that. Thank you for helping us out.
Yeah. And did a pretty significant awards push, even though it didn't get any mm-hmm. awards. I mean, in terms of whether it worked, I think it would have been a failure both ways because the movie just didn't do well.
Right.
It didn't make a whole lot of money and it didn't get really any awards.
No.
So
there was a lot of buzz before it came out.
Yeah. Well, that's Gus Van Sant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's an interesting take because.
It is, yeah.
But then again, it begs a question on, well, because it does beg that whole question on whether or not fracking is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the question of fracking, I don't know, I'm not an expert on fracking.
You're not?
At all, unless mm-hmm. you're talking about the Battlestar Galactica version of it.
Nice.
But I'm not an expert on fracking or natural gas or anything like that. But in general, my general take on that is when a company goes somewhere else to do something that's not anywhere near where the company or its executives live...
It's true.
There's a good chance there might be some things that are not very safe
mm-hmm.
about it. And we'll see. You know, I mean, I think the fracking debate is still out there.
Right.
I think that there's a lot of concerns just because you're like, I don't know if this is actually going to work. But like I said, I mean, it works, but you don't know what kind of impact it is. We may not see the impact.
Oh, yeah.
For 20, 30 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. So even if that's what they're trying to do, oddly enough, they're trying to export their own resources and rape and pillage their area of the world. So
And hey, if we can help them out, I guess we're helping them out.
That's what I guess that's how you win the war with the Middle East, is you have them deplete their resources and force them into poverty. At least
Kevin's philosophy on
Now watch, somebody's going to like pick that up and go with it. And they're going to be like, "Yes, this is what we need to do. Just drive around the freeway over and over and over again. Just burn all that gas and then we'll have to go to alternative fuels."
Well done, Kevin.
That's right. You know, I never get political on this show, and I don't think I did because I was so incoherent for the last 2 minutes. I don't think anyone could point to any position I was taking.
No, I can't.
That is my insanity plague.
And I am perfectly sober.
Well, so am I. I'm tired, though. Anyways, let's move on. Thank you, Ty, for the email.
Thanks, Ty. We appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to the shows and the podcast and everything else that we do. Let's talk a little bit about DVDs with the
DVD Roundup.
That's right. Well, you know, there's this one movie coming out this week.
There is. I've heard a little bit about it.
We've talked about it already.
We may have mentioned it.
It is Argo!
Yes!
What happened?
Six of the hostages went out a back exit.
Where are they?
The Canadian ambassador's house.
We got Revolutionary Guards going door to door.
These people die. They die badly.
White House?
Who wants the six of them out?
I got an idea.
They're a Canadian film crew for a science fiction movie.
I fly into Tehran. We all fly out together as a film crew.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir. By far.
Yes. Knock, knock. This movie is on DVD and Blu-ray right now. And I don't know what else to say. It's a good movie. Go check it out.
It is.
It's worth seeing.
It is.
So, and we also have Sinister.
Which I didn't see. I've heard wonderful things about it. No.
Well, you're not a horror movie
missed
fan,
it.
Though, are you?
I am a little bit.
Okay.
But the problem is I can't get my husband to watch them with me.
Oh,
so I always end
Canadians.
Up watching. I always end up watching horror movies when he's gone. And then it just scares the crap out of me, and then I
terrified.
Can't sleep. So it's one of those things.
Will he watch a Canadian horror movie? Will he, like, watch the original My Bloody Valentine with you or something?
No, no. It's just not his thing.
What is that all about? That's what I want to know.
Maybe he would watch Jason with a hockey mask.
That's true, because it has hockey. But you got to go to the third movie before he actually puts on the hockey mask. Did you know that? The hockey mask doesn't show up until the third movie. And even then, it was a lark.
Hmm.
They just, like, threw it in there.
There you go.
It became one of the most iconic symbols of American horror. Let's also talk about Monsters Incorporated on 3D Blu-ray. It's been out on DVD and on Blu-ray.
Yeah, but it was just released in theaters in December,
in
right?
3D. Yeah,
in
something
3D.
Like that. Like right before Christmas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can check it on 3D.
And, of course, Monsters University is coming out this
summer. Yeah.
So, you know, before you get the prequel, you should probably check this one out again.
Well, and here's the thing that's nice about the Disney Blu-rays and the 3D Blu-rays. It's like got 58 discs in it or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
It's like got the 3D Blu-ray, the Blu-ray, the DVD, the digital copy.
And one thing about this one, because it was released in theaters, they actually have features on the 3D disc,
awesome.
Which is really rare.
Yeah. Usually it's just the movie and that's it.
So this one, you get a couple of shorts mm-hmm. and you get all of the outtakes and the other fun stuff. So
that's awesome.
That's included too.
Awesome. So yeah, we'll definitely, that's one that's good. If you don't have it in your library, it's good to pick up before.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that they've released it all, they're just going to pull all these from release at some point. Because it's Disney. Anna Karenina is also out, which I thought was okay for what it was.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we talked about it in like November or December.
Yes, we did.
That's one to check out. There's also Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome, which isn't a great movie, but if you're a huge fan of the TV show, the reboot, it at least gets you back in there a little bit. It's real corny and cheesy. It used to be webisodes that they then strung together and they put it, and you see it on Blu-ray, and it probably looked better on the small screen, the super small screen. There's a lot of lens flares. There are more lens flares in the first 5 minutes than every J.J. Abrams joke about Star Wars that you've heard.
Nice.
So you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We are doing our DVD roundup, and what's your stinker? You have a different stinker than I do.
I do. Mine this week is Fun Size.
I'm fun sized.
Yes, you are. It is a random Halloween comedy for, I'm not sure who it's for.
Yeah, it looks like it's Project X for teenagers with
Kind of. Because it stars a Nickelodeon star, but it's
Victoria
PG-13.
Justice. Yeah. And it's by Nickelodeon Films, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there are plot lines that run through this. They, you know, go to parties and do shots, and then they go over. And there's a whole plot line with Chelsea Handler, the mom, and her, like, midlife crisis. And this movie, it's just, it's all over the place. And in the end, I think it's trying to be a comedy for all audiences. Yeah. And in the end, it's really a comedy for no audiences.
Yeah. Speaking of no audiences, my stinker is Atlas Shrugged. Part two of The Strike, which it's ideology aside, it's a bad script. It's poorly written. It's poorly acted. It's got terrible special effects.
Sounds like a great flick.
Yeah, I would not go check this one out. Anyways, review wrap up. Snitch gets a suck, full on suck from both of us, Dark Skies gets preemptive suck. Next week we're going to talk Jack and the Giant Killer, 21 and Over, The Last Exorcism 2, and Phantom. But until then, bye bye.
See ya.